भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today's reading is from Canto 10, Chapter 17, text number 12 through 19. Word for word for number 12? Okay. Okay, well, let's do the verse. Let's do the first verse. Tatkaliya param veda. Nanya kashana leliha avatsid garudadhita krishnena cha vivasita tatkaliya param veda nanya kashana leliha Avatsir Garudadhita Krishnena cha vivasita Tatkaliya param veda Nanya kashana leliha Avatsir Garudadhita Krishnena cha vivasita Tatkaliya param veda Nanya kashana leliha Avatsir garudadhita Krishnena cha vivasita Tatkaliya param veda Nanya kashana leliha Avatsir garudadhita Krishnena cha vivasita Tatkaliya param veda Nanya kashana leliha Avatsir garudadhita Krishnena cha vivasita Tatkaliya param veda Nanya kashana leliha Avatsir garudadhita Krishnena cha vivasita Mataji? Okay, nobody? All right, let's go to the next verse, next Sanskrit. We can do it all together. Okay. Krishnam radadvinishkrantam divya swagandavasasam mahamani ganakirnam jambunada parikshkritam upalabhyotita sarve labdha prana ivasavaha Pramoda nibhrittatmano gopa pritya vire vire Yashoda rohini nando gopyo gopasya kaurava Krishnam samitya labdheha asan shushka nagapi Ramaschachutam langya jahasya no bhavavit premnatam mankamaropya puna puna rudekshita Yastaryo lebhire paramamudam Nandam viprasamagatya guravasakalakrata Uchuste kaliyagrasto dishtya muktastavatmaja 17 is the last one?
Two more.
Dehidanam vidyatinam Krishna nirmukti devati Nanda prita manarajan Gasu varnam tadastishat Yashodapi mahabhaga Nashta labda prajasati Parishvajyantam arupya Momos chashu kalamahu
And now Madan Mohan Prabhu will give class.
So we're going to start with text 12, the translations, and just read the translations right through to 19. So text number 12 says, of all the serpents, only Kaliya came to know of this affair, and in fear of Garuda, he took up residence in the Jamuna Lake. Later, Lord Krishna drove him out. So I guess I should give a little bit of... where we are in the story, they did a Sukadeva Goswami did a little explanation about Subari Muni and how it came that Kaliya had taken residence there. So now he's coming back to the main storyline. That was just a little bit about. Sorry, Muni. And I think I'm going to mention one or two things about him, too. He performed austerities. And when you perform austerities, you're always trying to please someone so they can give you some of their potency that they have. And there's two different methods or mentalities when one performs austerity. He performs austerity for the pleasure of the person, and that's it. Another way they do it is they perform it for his pleasure, but to get something from him. And the main object is to get something from him. Like we know of Hiranyakashipu performed great austerities, but his mood was never really to please Lord Brahma, but to please him enough that he could get something from him, as opposed to when you're doing austerities in bhakti, for instance, you're just doing it for the pleasure of the spiritual master, the other devotees, the Krishna, like that, without any thought of what will I get back from it, because that colors it differently. They just say, well, I hope Krishna's happy with this, and that's enough. And then one verse that came to mind, so we could see that subtler intention, was Bhagavad Gita 4:18, one who sees inaction in action, and action and inaction, he's intelligence among men, and he is in a transcendental position, although engaged in all sorts of activities. So that's an essential item in the bhakti path, is the purification. There's the control of the senses, control of the mind, and then there's purification of the mind and purification of the senses, and the motive is different. When you're purifying it, it's ultimately so you can come to pure devotional service. When you're controlling it, it's still got a motive that's subtler. So we're getting at the subtler points. So we're going to go now to text 13 and 14. Resuming his description of Krishna's chastising Kaliya, Sukadeva Goswami continued, Krishna rose up out of the lake wearing divine garlands, fragrances, and garments covered with many fine jewels and decorated with gold. When the cowherds saw him, they all stood up immediately, just like an unconscious person's senses coming back to life. Filled with great joy, they affectionately embraced him. So in these series of eight verses that we're going to read, I conceived of it as a scene in a play. You know how that they shut the curtains, they arrange all the props, and then there's a scene, and at the end of the scene, they shut the curtains again, and there's another scene. So these eight verses are one scene of this pastime with Krishna coming out of the lake. So this is that one moment, the snapshot of that moment that's being expanded. And I was, for this particular scene, since there aren't any purports, I do have this, the purports that I'm going to share with you from Siddhartha Darshini, which is from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He put some commentary onto these verses. But there's still a little bit leniency here. So I was going to ask if everybody could enter into the mood and the feeling of what was taking place here. They had just witnessed that Krishna was finished. They were thinking Krishna is finished. Krishna is their life. That's all that they live for. They don't have any separate existence. And they saw, you've seen little snakes, they're kind of scary, but a snake that's so big that he coiled Krishna completely up in his coils. The whole place is full of poison. The trees are dying. The birds were flying over. They were dying. So they're witnessing this, and they're passing out. They're devastated. Their most dear object of love is now, they're thinking for that moment in time, that it's over. No more Krishna. So here, we're going to go on. So this is what's happening when they're seeing Krishna. He came back. Our life has just came back. So the next text is 15. Having regained their vital functions, they had lost their vital functions. They were like, there's nothing, there's no place to move, there's nothing else to do. That's it. They're just stuck there in that condition. Regaining their vital functions, Jasoda, Rohini, Nanda, and all the other cowherds, women and men, got up, went up to Krishna. O descendant of Kuru, even the dried up trees came back to life. Text 16. Lord Balaram embraced his infallible brother and laughed, knowing well the extent of Krishna's potencies. Out of great feelings and of love, Balaram lifted Krishna up on his lap and repeatedly looked at him. The cows, bulls, the young female calves also achieved the highest pleasure. 17. All the respectable Brahmins, together with their wives, came forward to meet Nanda Maharaj. They said to him, your son was in the grips of Kaliya, but by the grace of providence, he is now free. 18. The Brahmins then advised Nanda Maharaj to assure that your son Krishna will always be free from danger. You should give some charity to the Brahmins. With a satisfied mind, O King, Nanda Maharaj then very gladly gave them gifts of cows and gold. Okay, text 19. The greatly fortunate Mother Jasoda, having lost her son and then regained him, placed him on her lap. That chaste lady cried constant tears, torrents of tears, as she repeatedly embraced him. So this is an emotional moment. That's why I was thinking if we can try to capture it with our feelings. This is the 10th canto, Lights. And So we already have some attachment by hearing this Bhagavatam day after day, month. We've gone through so many different cantos. We understand that there's a difference between the soul and the body. Dehi no sminyata dehe. We've had to undergo so much determination to get from one canto to the next, 1 year after the next, maintaining these the vows that we've taken to the spiritual master, the 16 rounds, the four regulated principles, coming to the temple as we can. And now we're understanding more and more about Krishna, just like when someone, I think it was maybe Devaki, she was performing austerities, and then Krishna appeared and said, we would like to have a son like you. So what did Krishna say? You can't have a son like me. There isn't anybody like me. It can only be me. But that same idea, we can understand that in this world, every one of us wants a son like Krishna, a husband like Krishna, a wife like Krishna, a mother like... In every relationship, we're always hoping the person is going to be that perfect reciprocation of love that we're looking for. But as the time goes on and you practice tolerance, it's interesting, Pushkar pointed out to me that tolerance and forgiveness is the same word in Sanskrit. So as you're practicing, developing the sukha dukkha da, being unaffected, becoming dira to happiness and distress, we come to understand that in every relationship, we were looking for Krishna. So just like in that prayer by Devaki, and when Krishna responded, there isn't someone else like me. You're actually looking for me. And then all the understanding, the Sankhya, how this material world, we have the director's cut. So we understand how the scenes are set up. We understand how this material energy is put together as a perverted reflection. We're seeing this, everything is to remind us of Krishna. As time goes on, we're just seeing everything to remind us of Krishna. And to take this another step, when you thought you lost Krishna, if we could think like when Prabhupada left, the devastation that the devotees felt when... to even think, like one time I had a dream, and in my dream I was younger, and it was time to go to school. So my mother woke me up and says, okay, get ready for school. And I say, it's 7:30, what about, you know, like greeting the deities, Mangal Arti, you know, Krishna? And they said, who? It was in a time before Krishna consciousness was available in America. This was in the 50s. This dream took place. And I was thinking, no, I've taken birth again with no Krishna, no association of devotees, no Mangal Arti, no chanting japa, no Srimad Bhagavatam. And I was aghast. How do you move? How do you do anything? So I was noticing the... that in Krishna consciousness, when you're looking for Krishna in one sense, you're remembering Krishna, but in another sense, he's not here. There's this Vipalamba Seva that Lord Chaitanya came to teach. And if you capture this mood a little bit of what it's like to think, hopefully, at this stage, you can get where that your rod, that attachment is, to think if there was no change, like going back to elementary school, that was a hard time. Junior high was harder. High school was even harder. College was the worst. Then I met the devotees. So, I mean, it was a progression to think of how it would have continued worse, worse, worse. What would have the rest of the life, and after that, so... You have some appreciation that grows every day how wonderful this life is of Krishna consciousness. So I was going to read some of the commentary here so we could he captures the same mood. When you're translation, I was listening to this one memory series, and Sarvabhavana, who did translation work, asked Prabhupada about how do you translate? And because Prabhupada did a lot of translations. He says there's two ways that people translate. One's called literal, and the other is called bhava artha. He says he prefers the bhava artha. And literal means you do one word, the other word. The bhava artha is that you capture the mood of what it is that the author is trying to communicate. You maintain that same mood and the same message, and you put that in your own words. So that was nice, and because giving class is actually a little difficult. So Sukadev Goswami, it said when he left home, his father called out to him, but only the trees responded with an echo. However, some of the acharyas give a commentary on that, and if you think about it, trees don't echo. Canyons echo, walls echo. Generally, forests don't echo. So they explain that Sukadeva Goswami was such a mystic that he could enter into the hearts of everyone just during the his conversation with Maharaj Parikit. There was many people there, and it said he could enter into the hearts. Well, he actually entered into the hearts of the trees as well, and the trees, feeling, were responding, and they just said it was the echo of the non-moving living entities. So I'm figuring if Sukadeva Goswami can enter into the trees and get them to talk, then please assist me in discussing the Srimad Bhagavatam with the devotees. You can do it with trees. So the purport that from here on text 12, and actually to what everybody, they understood about Subari Muni, what took place with him. When you perform austerities, it's like a timeout. You're not engaging your active senses. You're not engaging. He was meditating, and he was being protected by that meditation from having to do so many other activities. But when he made an offense, the protection was lost, puna musa kabhava. The timeout was over, and because he still had material, placing his feet upon the heads of other serpents in the water that had been ordered to serve Krishna by Kaliya. Okay, if this were not so, Krishna's whole body would have again become wet. The description of Krishna wearing divine flower garlands, fresh cloth, would not have been appropriate. The boys regained their sense perception, just like a dying man regains his vital force. So most of us by now have had some illnesses, fairly serious illness that you're bedridden. Can hardly eat anything, can hardly do anything. You're pretty much useless and wasted, and you're just laying there and thinking, maybe I'll die, maybe I'll come back. So when you get better, all of a sudden you have all this energy came back, and you can do things. So we should take a moment to feel what it was like. They were like dying. There was all of their energy. Of course, we also meditate on where do you get your energy from, Prahlad? Remember that Haranyakashipu asked that. But there's a word, Patrodya, that means you're getting your energy from someplace else. It's not exactly coming from your senses. It's not exactly coming from any of your... It's coming from the transcendental platform. You're running on spiritual energy. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, he made the connection. Sometimes with yoga, they don't consider that you're connecting to the powerhouse, the powerhouse of all energy. You get it. So sometimes, because their heart hasn't changed, you know, the 2, 23, 24, that's all right. Some people may know it. Certainly that heart is still framed. So this energy that we're receiving, Golokera Premadan Harinam Sankirtan, this has an effect on purifying the subtle body and the gross body. The boys regained their sense perception just like a dying man regained his vital force. Their minds were filled with bliss. Gopa here refers to Krishna's cowherd boyfriends, not the cowherd men. Because of natural unsteadiness, the boys would have embraced Krishna before the elders. They couldn't control themselves. They were just so happy. Having regained, this is now text 15, the verse and the purport. Having regained their vital functions, Jasoda, Rohini, Nanda, and all the other cowherds, woman and man, went up to Krishna. O descendant of Kuru, even the dried up trees came back to life. And here's his commentary. Discarding any embarrassment or fear of the elders, Mother Yasoda exclaimed with great happiness in a choked voice, "My son has been saved. My son has been saved," without considering fear of the elders and embarrassment, young lady. Okay. Rohini and the other close friends stood behind Yasoda in a tight circle. Nanda Maharaj stood behind Rohini. Due to impatience over the delay in meeting his son, Nanda Maharaj, overwhelmed in love, abandoned his natural gravity, his normal gravity, and hastily made his way through the throng of women. Other elder cowherd men and women stood behind this intimate group. Having been saved from death, the elderly gopis returned to life and hurried to Krishna. However, the word cha indicates that the young damsels of Braj, such as Radharani or Radhika, who were developing their loving attachment for Krishna, glanced upon their darling from a distance. So we're getting more of the picture here of what's taking place, this one little scene, because it goes by. Today is the only day. Then tomorrow it's another scene that's taking place, the forest fire and all that. But for this one moment, if we could enter this moment, it's such a special thing to be able to do that, to recognize that right now we also have feelings that extend towards what these Brijbasis must have been going through. In other words, suppose the government came and said, "You can't have the temple anymore. There are no more deity worship, no more getting together, no more kirtans." You think anybody would feel anything? "Oh, well, I'll just go back and just become a karmi, huh?" Who could do? It would just like stunned. You know, you just basically would just stop where you were and just hope that you could die. Anyway, text 16 was, Lord Balaram embraced his infallible brother and laughed, knowing well the great extent of Krishna's potencies. Out of great feelings of love, Balaram lifted Krishna up on his lap and repeatedly looked at him. What was he looking for? This is what he's going to tell us. The cows, bulls, and female calves also achieved the highest pleasure. So what do you think when Balaram was holding Krishna and looking at him, what was he looking at? He was looking all over Krishna. Krishna just came back from a serious encounter. So what do you think he would be looking for?
Make sure that he didn't have any wounds, right?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you're checking just like any time is he okay? You know, you're just looking over. So he says, smiling, Balaram said, "You have done just the right thing." Though Balaram was aware of Krishna's strength, he looked at him intently, and there's a Sanskrit word for that, again and again, puna puna, in order to see if Krishna had incurred any injuries from his fighting with Kali. So even though all this is going on, there's still this feeling. It's not that, oh, Krishna, he's Superman, you know, bullets bounce off him. Nothing at all. Happened. He's still, that affection is looking, is he okay? Everything all right? You know, checking little things. 17. All the respectable Brahmins, together with their wives, came forward to meet Nanda Maharaj. They said to him, "Your son was in the grips of Kaliya, but by the grace of providence, he is now free." And it says that the Purohitas are the family priests, such as Braguri, Bhagori Muni, and the chief pandits in the court of Nanda Maharaj. And the 18 was, "The Brahmins then advised Nanda Maharaj to assume that your son Krishna will always be free from danger. You should give charity to the Brahmins." With a satisfied mind, Nanda Maharaj then very gladly gave gifts of cows and gold. So what do you think? You know, that's a little tricky nowadays in Kali Yuga to get the correct understanding. It's blocked by anytime somebody says something like that. The Brahmin says, "You should give charity to us for your auspiciousness." But Krishna, does he need to have the blessings of the Brahmins for us? So you think about that for a second, but here it mentions that Nanda Maharaj very gladly gave cows and gold. So one thing we can understand is that was his natural inclination. This tense moment needs some, okay, let's get back to what we have to do. Because once you start doing your functions, then you unwind from that tension. So he very gladly did that. That's what it says. Very gladly gave cows and gold. And the whole system was in place there. They're very respectful to that system, the Varnashram system. And then 19, which was our last verse. "The greatly fortunate Mother Yasoda, having lost her son, then regained him, placed him on her lap. That chaste lady cried constant torrents of tears as she repeatedly embraced him." So we got some mothers here. Now there was, it's a little harder to remember, but we probably mothered many times. But he just, with that same parental affection, just think, there's your son. He's how old? He's just a tender little youth. She thought that he was gone, and now she got him back. So maybe like one or two tears. It's a torrents, constant torrents of tears, just, I'm sure, blubbering, all those things that were taking place. So just to see that. And in the purport, it says, "After getting back her son, who was almost lost, Nasta Labitin Praja, Mother Yasoda sat Krishna on her lap and tightly embraced him. Yasoda could not do this before because there were many people around." So if we just capture that scene and just feel that for a minute, that this is the activities of Braj, because the little excursion before was into Salbari Muni. So in the Bhagavatam, Etava Deva Jignatvam, that verse, one who's searching out after the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, has to search it out up to this, prema. In all circumstances, in all time, both directly and indirectly. So the indirectly is this Subhara Muni. This is indirectly. He had association, a Garuda, but he had a particular mood towards him. He was performing austerities, but he got the opposite effect because of interaction with a devotee. So we should see directly and indirectly. If you do it right, here's the ones that are always doing it right, the residents of Vrindavan. If you do it wrong, you go through the material energy again. So directly and indirectly, how to do it right and how to avoid the other ways that may present themselves to you. So we also see, just like Krishna advised in the Bhagavad Gita about learning how to tolerate. And we see that same instructions with Subhara Muni, how things may have been different for him if he knew how to tolerate. So in our life, we'll have many opportunities. Krishna is so kind. He's giving us so many opportunities to tolerate, forgive, be humble, remember Krishna. And of course, when you remember Krishna, because we're not just sentimental, we have religion without philosophy, philosophy without religion, like that, where we can remember the whole process, how it is. We're not this body. He says there's no question of spiritual life unless you understand. I was listening to a lecture 213 day, he knows minyata dehe, how you've changed your body how many times already in this body. We're always changing bodies. And one becomes a dhira, he's not bewildered by this anymore. So in order to be dhira, one has to have this tolerance. So the question is, if we're not this body, why are we in this body? Why were we sentenced to be in this body? And with that mood, one doesn't have to defend. Better to tolerate than to retaliate. And in that way, he can turn that opportunity, as opposed to continuing his involvement with the bodily conception of life, into a type of ecstatic humility of recognizing Krishna. Actually, I deserve much, much worse than this. You've given me just a token just to see out of your mercy, just to help remind me. So that's basically what I was going to say on the verses today. We can take some questions or comments. Trivikram.
Very nice class. But before we finish off this scene with the snakes, I'd like to touch on 2 points back. The other day I'd asked a question about what had happened to all these mystical Nagas and if they were exterminated. That word just came into my mouth.
Which snakes?
The Nagas, you know, if what happened, we can't see any of them now, you know.
Oh, did you find out?
So when I did some research, it stated that Parikshit's son, Janamejaya, did a snake sacrifice. And all these snakes from all over the world were flown into that sacrifice.
They were being...
Or almost.
They were all going into the fire.
Yeah,
he had such power that he was drawing them in.
Yeah, so the snakes were actually exterminated, except... Well,
but not all of them, because they stopped them.
Yeah,
they said for one snake's fault, you shouldn't exterminate the whole race.
Yeah, yeah. The one that actually killed Parikshit, Tarksha, he went to heaven to hide with Indra, you know, but he was coming down also. But there was another snake that actually helped to save him, because he had appeased Janamejaya and he stopped the sacrifice. And so Tarksha did not get burnt in that fire. And some other snakes too, but most of them were actually exterminated. So that was one point. And the other point I want to touch upon is Kashyapa Muni. Kashyapa Muni is the father of mankind, of all. He's like the progenitor of for all the races. And we were discussing if he was Taksha. His name is Taksha also, but his son is also Taksha, but it's pronounced a little different. You see, so they're not the same person. I mean, you know, because that came up the other day and we were thinking they were the same person, but he's different. Kashyapa Muni is different from the snake that bit Parikshit. One is Taksha, he's called Taksha, and the other one is called Takshaka.
Yeah, because this creation is coming and going, every breath of Vishnu, and since you can't count, there's no time at that point where the creations are coming and going, and in these creations there's a certain format that's followed, but there's variations. And we're taught to see it almost as a whole unit, how the material creation, eternal time, and then material nature, and just how the living entities have different relationships with Krishna. They're going through all these different 8,400,000 species of life. And then when you finish up, we're In one sense, I always like puns or things like that. We're running out of time. By this sadhana, we're running back to Krishna. So as we run towards Krishna, we're running out of being controlled by material time. So our time is almost up. And just fun stuff. So we'll see that, Krishna is the one for us? Like that point about with every person we have a relationship, we're always thinking if it could be Krishna. But Krishna says, I can be that when your senses are all purified. And we, that's where Krishna Mata, Krishna Pitta, who knows that one? Anybody know that one? Huh? You shy? Go ahead.
Krishna Mata, Krishna Pitta, Krishna Pranadhan.
Do you know what it means?
Well, Krishna is a mother, Krishna is a father, and Krishna is our life power.
Thank you. So, that's it. Jai. All glories of Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.